When the legend becomes fact, print the legend.
What the hell happened to the America that I've known and loved? Right, we sent rockets to photograph the rectal passages of Jupiter, and the kids wind up in porno films. They violate the laws of Newton and Christ, and then we wonder why a bunch of bandits with towels on their heads have got us by the nuts.
A city rich in romantic oriental lore.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Baghdad, you must investigate Baghdad.
And learn a few of the facts you never knew before.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Liberté, chérie, converse avec tes défenseurs, sous nos
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. This is your host, Lenny Bloom, along with my co-host, the great Judge Buster from Chicago, Sherman Skolnick. And once again, we're here to expose the state secrets, the shadow governments and shadow religions hope you don't learn, and to stay right on the heels of the criminal elite. And the criminal elite are giving us a lot of work today because they're busy, 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 and here who's a step ahead of them at all times, who's got their back and their front, my co-host, Sherman Skolnick. Sherman, it's indeed a great honor to welcome you back to Cloak and Dagger.
It's my honor and pleasure to be on this program with you, Lenny. As far as judge busting, we continue to pursue the five judges on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Good.
That were corrupted in December of 2000. In the case of Bush versus Gore, to install George W. Bush arbitrarily and unlawfully as the occupant and resident of the White House. Now, what is swirling around in the world are various stories, the validity of which is difficult to verify 100%, and because there's so much to give out the sources.
Right.
Of where this information is coming from,
yeah,
it wouldn't help any because people would duck for cover. But here are some of the things that are happening. There are stories in the Arab press,
yep,
which some foreign diplomats say are in greater part correct, and that is that there are deals in the works, apparently not yet consummated or finalized, to fill up the possible vacuum by the U.S. massive withdrawal of troops. There was a story about a week ago in the Monopoly press that the U.S. is going to withdraw 15,000 troops, or as they put it, rotate those troops. However, in the meantime, some Arab news sources contend that there are witnesses in the media who are censored and not allowed to report that 25,000 U.S. troops have been withdrawn quietly, and that reporters had their cell phones blacked out, and any reporter that tried to report it was arrested, and that these troops have been withdrawn from Iraq on the basis that they are not mentally and physically able anymore to serve, and that there may be other large numbers. Now, some of the other facts that seem to substantiate this are as follows. The alleged Secretary of State, Candy Rice, came back as an emergency from another country she was visiting to Paris. And we have been told very little about what went on there, other than she says, in vague terms, that the United States would prefer that the Iraqis undertake the security of their own country. We understand that she and others have tried to work a deal with the premier of Iraq, Jacques Chirac. Now, there is a problem there.
Wait, the premier, what, of Iraq?
Of France, of the Paris government. Freudian slip.
Yeah. Yes, Sherman, tell us more about how deep that slip is.
As to why there was a Freudian slip.
Yes.
On this program, we discussed exclusively in recent times a more or less secret item. By way of the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 1917 to 1922, France was given pieces of geography of the Mideast, but in each instance, it was not geography under which there was oil. So in a broad sense, France has been X'd out of the oil business of the Mideast, whereas Britain and the United States are very much there. So when I accidentally said that Chirac was the head of the Iraq government in Baghdad, it's a Freudian slip. What is happening is, reportedly, Candy Rice is trying to work a deal offering the proceeds of Iraqi oil to France if Chirac agrees to participate in some way.
Right, so Britain has signaled an interest in reopening the terms of that agreement. Is that fair?
Yeah, in other words, to give France some interest in the oil territories.
A cut of the oil. In other words, it's a cut of the oil revenues in return for their acquiescence and support.
Well,
is that true, Sherman?
We've got to put in a few historical facts.
Yes.
I don't want to get so technical that the listeners get bogged down, but
no.
In 48, Britain arranged a method to keep the Arabs, who have oil under their territory, off balance. What Britain did was to see to it that the Jews were installed in a narrow strip of historical land called Palestine, called the Homeland, called the Holy Land, and so on. The purpose was that it is obvious that that little piece of land is surrounded on all sides by large numbers of Arabs who, for religious and other reasons, would like the Jews not to be there or to be all dead. I mean, just to put it in the bluntest terms. The purpose was that the Jews and the Arabs should fight around with each other forever in a situation that has no quick remedy, and that way the British have the Arabs off balance, and so the British can control the oil fields.
Yeah, divide and conquer.
Then in 1953, as we discussed in a prior program of ours, Great Britain secretly arranged with the United States to overthrow the duly put-in government in Iran, Mossadegh. And Mossadegh wanted a bigger cut of the oil proceeds from Iran. And so in 53, Britain with the United States overthrew Mossadegh and installed the peacock throne, namely the Shah of Iran. And he served there until 79 when he began to demand too much of the oil proceeds. And they overthrew him and put in the Ayatollah Khomeini. So there is this manipulation of the oil situation. Now, Candy Rice is trying to work a deal with France that France should train the security troops of Iraq so that we, the United States, can reasonably withdraw.
Sounds like a good deal for France.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, the United States would prefer French troops to be what I would call in the Iraq meat grinder. And France says, no, 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 we're not sending our troops in there. We were against this invasion in the first place that occurred in March of 2003. And so they're saying, well, we'll pump oil out of Iraq. We'll give you part of that money, train the Iraqi forces on your location, that is in France. And they're trying to work a similar deal with Germany. Now, here is the problem. There is a split in the Paris authorities. Right below the radar are a series of accusations, and the listeners can decide for themselves whether they wish to believe these accusations or whether they're just idle statements. The major newspaper in Paris is Le Monde. That's French for the world. And they have been fighting around with Chirac ever since he's been installed as the head man in the Paris government. They and others contend that when he was the mayor of Paris, that he was reportedly in with gangsters in Belgium. Now, why is this important? Because seldom mentioned in the American press is that Belgium reserves to themselves a extra-jurisdictional law stating that they can indict criminals against the world peace even if they're not in Belgium. So what that means, and the bottom line, is that Belgium reserves to themselves, apparently, the right to indict and grab Chirac, claiming that he is in business in Belgium with criminals. And Le Monde goes along with that. Okay. Now, Chirac, on the other hand, has been fighting around with Le Monde, claiming that the newspaper is run by business people who use the paper to shake down and blackmail and extort money from certain corporate interests. To me, it's laughable, because here in the United States, that is the way business is conducted.
Yeah.
I wrote a several-part series, and you have it. We have it on our website, cloakanddagger.ca, the blackmail business. In other words, in the United States, you have to be subject to blackmail, or they wouldn't select you for high office, even to run for high office. You've got to be subject to blackmail so they can remove you if you overstep yourself.
Yeah, no party will pick you up as a possible candidate unless they've got something on you.
The other thing is that I have had examples put forth before the public of where local TV and radio extort money from would-be advertisers, stating in so many words bluntly, if you don't give us a 26-week contract for advertising, we will mention your dirty stuff, your dirty underside, your dirty underwear.
Sherman, what sort of a background excites them the most? What sort of background makes it so that they're the most easily managed and manipulated?
Well, now here is more of the story, the validity of which I urge the listeners to make up their own minds. There is this fight, which is not, it's just below the radar. It may break out into the monopoly press or the British press, because the British and the French have been at the point of, they have been at war from the time of Napoleon on. I mean, have people forgotten the battle at Waterloo? Has everybody forgotten all of this? And the British grabbed Napoleon eventually, put him on an island in the South Atlantic, the St. Helena, and there, according to sources just in recent years, it has been determined from examining pieces of Napoleon's hair that the British poisoned him with arsenic. So the British have been fighting with the French from 200 years ago. All right, now, but here is the other problem with Jack Chirac, which is right below the radar. And there are different factions. Some believe the story to be true. Others believe that maybe the Bush White House wants the story circulated in order to pressure Chirac to agree to this deal that I discussed.
Right. Namely, exactly.
To train the Iraqis on French soil for being the security forces, you know, as part of the supposedly new Baghdad government. What they're saying about Chirac is that, number one, he was not born in France. That's what they contend, believe it or not, that he was born in the United States, that he went to Yale at the same time as George W. Bush and John F. Kerry, and that he is part of a troika. A troika is a Russian word for a wagon pulled by three horses. What does that mean? It means there are some in France contend, and it's a question that is believed by some and disbelieved by others, that Jack Chirac, like Kerry and George W. Bush, is a bonesman, a member of the Skull and Bastard Society in that closed building with no windows on the Yale campus called a tomb, where they initiate 15 new members, not more and not less, every year. And
Sherman, basically what we're saying here is he's a Scarlet Pimpernel. Remember the Scarlet Pimpernel who went into France to rescue the aristocrats?
Yeah, but let me finish.
Chirac is like the British agent in the French.
Well,
he's a British agent.
Lamont and others are contending something in the view of some people are worse than that, that Chirac was actually born in the U.S., is an American CIA agent, and most likely was there when Kerry, as we have described exclusively, initiated Bush, who was about 1 year younger than him, in the Skull and Bastard Society, where they cavort au naturel in a double-sized coffin filled with mud. That's the satanic cult. I call it Skull and Bones. I call it a little more severe, Skull and Bastard Society. But there are some, including those connected with Lamont, are willing to go one step further and allege that Chirac was there either cavorting with them or watching it or having later viewed a video or film of the event. So there's a troika of Skull and Bastards, George W. Bush, John F. Kerry, and Jack Chirac. So there is the fight between Lamont and Chirac, and I think it's about time we discussed it. But please, here is a careful disclaimer. The United States people and the French people have been allies, joined together by blood for 200 years. Remember, the French helped us with General Lafayette, causing the surrender at Yorktown of General Burgoyne, the British. That general says, I'm not going to surrender to a ragtag named General George Washington.
Yeah, there's been a brotherhood between them, regardless of whether or not somebody sneaks into the control tower.
And then when the British invaded the United States again in the War of 1812 and burned down the White House, people have forgotten, in 1814, the French troops were again there to protect the United States, and there is believed to be upwards of 55,000 dead, brave French soldiers buried on American soil. So we and France are joined together. By a proviso of the peace agreement of the American Revolutionary War, which I believe was put together in Paris in 1783, there's a secret proviso that forever France has the right, in an emergency, to put their forces of intelligence and military on U.S. soil if there's an emergency with the American people. And boy, there is an emergency with the American people now.
Like never before in the history of these nations, there's never been as urgent a moment as we have now.
Because we and a few others beside us now, taking a hint from us, are discussing that we are subject to foreign invaders, that we have the British controlling us, that the Queen is not only the head of state of Canada, but secretly the head of state of the United States.
Yeah, but and Sherman, in effect, what really is here is because of the esprit de corps between the military makes it so that French troops on American soil are not foreign troops because
right.
they've proven themselves by spilling their blood
right,
200
right,
years ago. But the thing is, so they're not foreign troops. But what's happened is when the French see there's foreign troops from other nations on American soil, they aren't foreign troops, so they better get over there.
Right. In other words,
they got to get to
the British surrender agreement in Paris on the American homeland of 1783 has a secret provision that France is forever reserved the right, if there's an emergency with the American people, to bring their troops and intelligence forces on the American soil to protect the American
Yeah, and that's
people.
A unique nation. There's no other nation that America has that with, because no other nation sent her young men over to die.
And in two world wars, where we Americans were instigated to get involved in Europe's war, Britain instigated that.
Right.
The music, you know, over there.
Yeah.
And so on, all that music, getting Americans to go across the ocean to Europe's war, participated by England, and we helped rescue the French in the First World War. And have we all forgotten that in the Second World War, our brave forces landed at Normandy, and many of them are buried nearby, including our guest Tom Hennigan's father's friends, Tom's late father is one of the few survivors of the Normandy invasion. And so we there helped rescue France from Nazi control. The Nazis had taken over in 1940 Paris, a terrible blow to the morale of the French people. In other words, we rescued France from the Nazis. So we are bound together in blood with the French, and on my website Skolnick'sReport.com, on a very extensive series called The Overthrow of the American Republic, I tell how the British have tried again and again to break up the United States so that we have no power, that for the benefit of the British, if not actually orchestrated by them and the Jesuits, 7 U.S. presidents have been assassinated, 4 by gunfire and 3 by poisoning. And I know that there are some Americans that are shaking their heads. I didn't learn this in high school history. What's this man talking about? I can't help what they learned or didn't learn. I can't help that. All I can do is do my best to speak the truth as I understand it from upwards of 50 years of research and investigation into these subjects. Now, so here we have a situation where there's a split opinion in France about Chirac, where Candy Rice, perhaps being instigated by the Bush White House to extort services from France by way of perhaps the Bush White House is circulating these stories right below the radar that Chirac is an American-born, that he's an American CIA agent, that he has been in business reportedly with gangsters in Belgium, that Belgium would like to arrest Chirac under their unusual extra-jurisdictional law, and so on. These are all the things that are bubbling along, and remember, when Candy Rice was in Paris, shortly thereafter, in the dark of night, Rumsfeld, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, landed in Baghdad and went and visited a military hospital in Tabusa or whatever, that one place there.
Yeah.
There's two places. There's Mosul and there's another place
yeah.
where there's been a terrible battle with our troops.
Yeah.
and he went and supposedly visited a hospital there. But the point is, these situations tend to add validity to these other situations, such as the Arab press says that 25,000 troops, U.S., have been withdrawn, and that there is going to be perhaps another 35,000, maybe by April or May, and so that we're basically getting the hell out of Iraq and turning it over to the Iraqi forces, insofar as if they can be trained, and insofar as that would be suitable to the American foreign invaders. The reason that Iraqi police stations are being bombed practically every day is that the partisans, patriotic from the Iraqi standpoint, are harassing and killing American troops every day because we are foreign invaders and they want us the hell out. Candy Rice is trying to make this apparent deal that Chirac should supply services training Iraqi security forces, but not in Iraq, but on French soil. Because those that listen regularly to our briefings recall that we made a solemn plea to Chirac not to send French troops into the Iraq meat grinder, where our occupant and resident, I will not call him the president, he's an occupant and resident of the Oval Office, George W. Bush, has sent our troops, upwards of 150,000, serving no American purpose, serving only the purpose of the oil cartel to seize Iraq's vast oil treasure, believed to be the second largest, if not the largest, oil reserves in the planet. And here they're...
I thought the Viceroy did a rather good job at that, didn't you?
Well...
the Viceroy did a wonderful job, Sherman, didn't he? Guarding that. Our assets, the Queen's assets.
The Queen.
Is there anything wrong with that, Lord Skolnick?
The Queen supplied 25,000 British troops, principally to the area of Iraq that's always been against Baghdad, and that's Basra. And there is oil there, and there's oil in the north near the Kurdish territory. And yet the British are getting 90% of Iraq's oil with only a minimum force on the ground in Iraq.
Well, that's quite all right. The Viceroy knows that there's nothing wrong with using our assets for the Queen's health,
financial
for Her
experts,
Majesty.
Financial experts, Lenny, raised the question, were it to be publicized in the monopoly press in the United States, that we are in effect largely withdrawing our troops and turning it over to Iraq security forces to be trained in continental Europe, France and possibly Germany, what need would we have for vast defense budget?
I'm sure the Viceroy...
What need would we have that Halliburton should have multi-billion-dollar contracts?
That's quite okay, Lord Skolnick. The Viceroy and his commander-in-chief, in the White House, have authority over Her Majesty's assets to guard and develop them for the benefit of Her Majesty.
What you're getting at, Lenny, is that basically we're in Iraq to benefit the British.
It's a form of imperial commerce, dear Skolnick.
We're getting 90% of the oil, but have only 25,000 of the troops in the Iraq meat grinder.
Dear Sherman, it's merely a form of imperial commerce. Correct?
Halliburton,
is that not correct?
Right. Halliburton and Bechtel and others.
Hallowed Burton, yes.
Part of the aristocracy's business interests. To that extent, may well lose out. Cheney, the role of... some point out in France, but it doesn't quite get into the American press. Those in France pronounce Cheney's name to their benefit.
Cheney?
They call him Richard Cheney. And the reason for that is some believe that Cheney is actually a French agent. Now, I know some people say, wait a minute, Skolnick, he supports George W. Bush and all of that.
No, that's right. Cheney could be a French agent. Chirac's the CIA guy. Easy.
We cannot forget the role of Israel. Cheney's chief of staff is Scooter Libby, who was the lawyer for international swindler Mark Rich, very much involved in the Iraqi oil trading.
Good point, Sherman.
Was granted a pardon at the last moment as Clinton was leaving office and Bush was taking over in January 2001. We can't for 1 minute forget that. Cheney somehow tolerates an apparent criminal as his chief of staff. If that's acceptable to the American people, if that's acceptable to those who voted for Cheney,
Sherman, wouldn't
second
you
on the presidential ticket as vice president, that remains to be seen.
Sherman, would you agree that since 63 there really has been the same administration? No change in the real administration, only a change in the puppets and the characters fill the Oval Office?
We must hasten to point out what a departed colleague of ours, Mae Brussel, a very brave woman, shortly after the murder of President Kennedy, she made a statement which was carried but not sufficiently emphasized in the world press. I will not pay my income tax to an illegitimate government that is taken over by assassinating the president with a coup d'etat. Mae Brussel, she said, rest in peace. She dared make such a statement. And she was harassed in many ways for the rest of her life until she died under the most odd circumstances in 1988.
Yeah. So, well, Sherman, that's a good point to end this segment. I think we've cut through a lot of interesting new issues for people to bleed upon. But I
emphasize for those that may want to misunderstand us that there is a bond of blood attaching the American and the French people, and that whatever criticism may be thought of by divulging this fight, whether Chirac is or is not, as some describe him, an American intelligence agent, a skull and bones man, and so on, whether he is or is not that, that does not affect the bond between the American and the French people.
Sherman, what do you attribute this bond between the people? To what do you attribute it? How do you explain that to yourself, or what's the hidden ground there?
When you go to New York, there's the Statue of Liberty, and where does it face? It faces France. It doesn't face London.
But that's good, but what do you attribute? So you're saying it's just because they gave them a statue, that's what it's all about?
No, it's because...
Or is it deeper than that?
The French... Well, first of all, the British have no constitution. The United States does. Secondly, the French motto is liberty, fraternity, and I forget what the third...
Egalite.
Right. So, I mean, brave French troops have died on American soil. Some are buried here in this country for twice having fought to throw foreign invaders out of this country in the American Revolutionary War and then in the War of 1812.
So would you say that really what you're talking about is they both have a proclivity and a natural rejection of monarchical institutions?
Yeah, it's there.
Because the French don't like monarchies, do they?
They
threw off their own monarchy right away. They didn't take any. They didn't take any.
Google.
They didn't take any.
The actual words of the French anthem, which we have played on this program.
Yes, conspiratorial kings and knaves.
In other words, France was against That's what Napoleon was fighting against, conspiratorial kings. I remember Napoleon came in there after the French Revolution, after the French people chopped off the head of their king and queen. There's been no genuine American Revolution, unfortunately.
Well, that revolution and that feeling in the French are percolated over to America, and also was a major motivation, emotional force behind the American Revolution.
So whether Jacques Chirac is a criminal, as some in Belgium and some in the French press say, or whether he is a non-angelic politician, which is most of the politicians, remains to be seen. But there is no question that there is a bond of blood joining the American and the French people. And by the way, while
it's almost like the French are their older brother, and they act as if the French act like they're the America's older brother.
When we
and they're there to rescue them because they, as big brothers, feel a responsibility to Americans who are the younger brothers.
The way, while we're at it, let's mention that there is a bond of friendship between the Russian people, never mind the Moscow government, and the American people. So when we played a Russian song that predates the Soviet rise to power in Russia, some says, well, why are you sponsoring the communists? The song that we played predates by many centuries the rise of the Soviets. Some people didn't bother. Some people just don't bother to notice.
Yeah, and as exactly, and as Marshall McLuhan,
the enemy of the American people remains the British monarchy. So if we are at the end of our segment, you know what my salute always is.
Go ahead, German.
The hell with the Queen of England
and Prince Philip too. Read it yourself instead of asking the government why, because that will cause the propaganda to die. Good night, Sherman.
Good night, everybody.
You know, I bet you think I'm going to talk about the World Trade Center, don't you? Well, I ain't. Why? Because maybe I want to be different. Everyone in the known universe is talking about it, and maybe I just want to be unique and not say a fucking thing about it. Okay, that's really not the reason. I will say this one thing. Even though I've been promising not to say anything about it, I will say this one thing. Terrorists bomb places to scare people. Terrorists? Terror! It doesn't take a fucking degree in Latin to see where that comes from. They bomb places to get people to be terrified, to get their stock markets to crash, to get them to shut down their airlines, to get you thinking of nuclear fallout every time you talk to someone with their teeth missing, and above all, to get you all whining on global fucking television so they can look at it and dance around in the streets. Now, if any of you can think of a way the American people could have made this attack even more of a colossal fucking success, then let me know. But I refuse to be one more thing they can cheer about. Now, furs have been really sad over this whole thing, and you know, that's understandable. I mean, fuck, anyone get the number of that spiked dildo? We just got kicked in the balls with a fucking Boeing! You're damn right we're upset about it! And we're expressing that, too! Furs have been sharing their feelings and their artwork about this, and all over the place, and we need that right now. But then, suddenly in the middle of all this, this odor, this odeur of bullshit starts floating up like Satan just ripped the biggest broccoli cheese casserole fart in the universe and let it float up, or no, maybe it was yappy. I don't know. Either way, though, if we held a con for an entire month, the fanboy stink would only be half as bad as this. Furs are posting the mailing list just trying to deal with their feelings on this, and when they get a whiff of the steamy, fresh, flies buzzing around it bullshit, and they turn around just in time to see this idiot post, you fools, this was no accident. Bin Laden was trained by the U.S. government to do this so the Illuminati could have an excuse to start the new world order. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. That's all we need right now.
When the legend becomes fact, print the legend.
What the hell happened to the America that I've known and loved?
Right, we sent rockets to photograph the rectal passages of Jupiter, and the kids wind up in porno films. Violate the laws of Newton and Christ, and then we wonder why a bunch of bandits with towels on their heads have got us by the nuts.
Baghdad,
A city rich in romantic oriental lore.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Baghdad, you must investigate Baghdad.
And learn a few of the facts you never knew before.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.